Have you ever wondered why expensive wine tastes better, even when it's actually cheap wine in a fancy bottle? Or why a sugar pill can relieve chronic pain when labeled as medicine? As a teenage magician in the 1980s, I witnessed firsthand how suggestion shapes perception when I orchestrated an elaborate illusion involving a planted heckler who became emotionally overwhelmed during my performance. Despite my explicit disclaimers that I was merely an entertainer, audience members would still seek my guidance on life decisions, convinced of my supernatural abilities. This experience launched my journey from stage magic to neuroscience, where I've spent decades researching how our suggestible minds transform expectations into physical reality. The truth is, everyone is suggestible, not because we're weak-minded, but because suggestibility serves evolutionary advantages. Understanding how suggestion operates reveals the fragility of truth itself and equips us to navigate a world where advertisers, politicians, and digital platforms constantly shape our perceptions. Suggestibility isn't a flaw in human cognition, but a sophisticated feature that evolved for compelling evolutionary advantages. Throughout our species' history, suggestion provided several key survival and social benefits that helped shape human development. It facilitated rapid communication and learning within social groups, enabling knowledge transfer even before the development of complex spoken language. From a clinical perspective, suggestion plays a fundamental role in healing processes. The trust relationship between patient and healer can demonstrably improve survival outcomes through complex physiological pathways involving immune response, stress reduction, and neurochemical changes that researchers are only beginning to fully comprehend. Perhaps most importantly, suggestions serve as a primary mechanism for transmitting ideas, beliefs, and behaviors across generations through culture. This cultural transmission creates an evolutionary dynamic that operates orders of magnitude more quickly than genetic changes. While humans continue to evolve anatomically, exemplified by the increasing prevalence of the median artery in adults and changes in jaw structure due to dietary shifts, cultural evolution now drives human development at a pace that biological evolution simply cannot match. For instance, technological adaptations to climate change can occur within years, while genetic adaptations might take thousands of generations. Today, cultural factors rather than purely biological ones serve as the primary vectors for evolutionary change. Suggestion and suggestibility allow humans to adjust rapidly to social trends and cultural shifts, providing unprecedented adaptability that genetic evolution alone cannot achieve. Beyond natural and sexual selection, social relationships form a third critical evolutionary force, with suggestion serving as a lubricant for effective cooperation. This is evident in how quickly human societies can adopt new technologies, change social norms, or respond to environmental challenges through collective action. Unlike beavers who instinctively build dams or birds who construct identical nests generation after generation, humans construct infinitely variable niches through cultural knowledge and suggestions. The let's build concept marks a crucial evolutionary inflection point, with modern children effortlessly accomplishing with Legos what our ancestors couldn't imagine. This capacity for transmitted learning extends far beyond simple tool use. It encompasses complex social structures, technological innovation, and artistic expression. Throughout evolution, cultures and religions have strategically leveraged human suggestibility through practices like contemplative rituals, prayer, fasting, and psychedelics, potentially enhancing healing and social cohesion through increased suggestibility states. No human, regardless of education level, cultural background, or intellectual capacity, is completely immune to suggestibility. It's fundamentally woven into the fabric of our social existence, allowing us to learn from others' experiences without having to experience everything firsthand. A crucial advantage that has enabled our species' rapid adaptation to diverse environments across the globe. This shared susceptibility to suggestion has enabled the development of complex societies, educational systems, and cultural traditions that define human civilization. As a young performer, I discovered the power of suggestion through increasingly sophisticated techniques. I began with simple suggestions like tricking people about Kentucky's capital, convincing them it was Louisville rather than Frankfurt through confident assertion. This early experiment taught me how readily people accept authoritative statements without question. I then refined my approach with card tricks that subtly directed choices through mental contamination, a technique where I would deliberately point out certain cards to reduce the likelihood they'd be chosen, making one specific card the only pristine choice. This technique works because proper timing, confidence, and calculated gesticulations create an illusion of free choice while actually constraining it through psychological priming. In my teens, I discovered hypnosis through a little red booklet found in a magic shop. I was amazed how my friends, armed with just basic scripts and theatrical confidence, could perform successful hypnosis shows with minimal knowledge. Initially skeptical, I questioned whether volunteers were simply playing along until I read about Nobel physicist Richard Feynman's documented experiences with hypnosis. Feynman, a notoriously analytical mind, described feeling compelled to walk around a room despite actively trying to resist the suggestion. In another instance, he felt no pain from a match burn that left a physical blister, a powerful demonstration that suggestion could override even basic physical sensations. I witnessed a fascinating demonstration by a Russian hypnotist whose translator, a man with absolutely no hypnosis training, inadvertently became the one hypnotizing the audience simply by translating utterances. The audience responded more strongly to the translator's words than the hypnotist's original Russian statements. This revealed that suggestion's power lies not in technical expertise, but in perceived authority and the audience's expectations. Highly susceptible individuals can experience remarkable phenomena under hypnotic suggestion, from vivid hallucinations and selective amnesia to complete pain control, dramatic mood changes, and even partial paralysis of limbs. Today, standardized measures developed at Harvard and Stanford allow us to quickly determine hypnotability on a scale from low to high. These tests reveal that hypnotic susceptibility scales actually index everyday suggestibility, our general tendency to be influenced by suggestions in daily life. Research shows that suggestibility appears remarkably stable across our lifetimes, almost like a psychological fingerprint. Yet identifying its correlates has proven notoriously difficult. Neither intelligence, personality type, nor other common psychological measures reliably predict suggestibility. Cultural factors significantly impact measurement accuracy, as I discovered when conducting comparative studies between students in Singapore and UCLA. The Singaporean students appeared universally highly suggestible, scoring dramatically higher than Western norms. However, this wasn't because they were actually more susceptible. Rather, their cultural emphasis on respect and deference made them reluctant to report negative results to a visiting professor. This cultural bias highlighted the importance of considering social context in suggestibility research. Despite these methodological challenges, measuring suggestibility yields valuable information that can increase diagnostic accuracy and treatment efficacy across various fields. Highly suggestible individuals often benefit from therapeutic interventions that would prove ineffective for less suggestible people, particularly in pain management and anxiety treatment. Professionals regularly leverage situational suggestibility in their work. Lawyers carefully phrase questions to entrap suggestible witnesses. Clinical psychologists use suggestion to benefit patients in therapy, and stage hypnotists develop rapid techniques to identify the most suggestible audience volunteers for their performances. The power of suggestion extends beyond mere perception. It can actually transform our physical reality. Consider an experiment where researchers gave participants identical milkshakes, but with different labels. those drinking what they thought was a high-calorie indulgent shake experienced decreased levels of ghrelin, the hunger hormone, while those drinking the supposedly low-calorie sensible shake showed no hormonal change, despite both shakes being identical. These findings challenge the simplistic calories-in, calories-out model of dieting, suggesting our mindsets about food matter significantly. My informal wine experiment with medical professionals demonstrated similar effects. When white wine was dyed red with tasteless food coloring, participants described it using red wine terminology like raspberry and cherry, rather than the white wine descriptors like floral and honey they'd used before. This visual dominance occurs because evolution prioritized vision, processing in 40 milliseconds, over taste and smell, 400 milliseconds. Suggestion similarly affects alcohol's impact. A retired McGill colleague once sold non-alcoholic near beer at football games when prohibited from selling real alcohol, yet customers displayed intoxication symptoms. Research shows that social drinkers who received tonic water but believed they'd consumed vodka behaved as if drunk, a think-drink effect where beliefs shape behavior. As a former magician turned neurologist, I've applied theatrical elements ethically in medicine. When a clinical neurologist failed to provoke a seizure in Vero, a patient with suspected non-epileptic seizures, I stepped in with theatrical flair. By manipulating the saline infusion and pointing excitedly at her EEG, I successfully triggered her seizure, confirming the psychological nature of her condition. Similarly, I created a theatrical intervention for Simon, a 12-year-old with treatment-resistant Tourette syndrome who had exhausted conventional treatments. Using discarded medical equipment to build a fake tick detector and tick deflector, I convinced Simon these machines could detect and eliminate his ticks before they manifested. Remarkably, Simon sat tick-free for 30 minutes, something no medication had accomplished without side effects. These phenomena of suggestible physiology operate through dissociation and absorption, psychological constructs where one becomes detached from normal experience or deeply immersed in mental imagery. The mental broth of expectation, motivation, attention, concentration, dissociation, and absorption proves remarkably powerful in driving physiological responses, showing how top-down mental processes can profoundly influence bottom-up biological functions. The power of suggestion extends beyond laboratory settings into clinical practice, where it can both diagnose and treat various conditions. At the Department of Epileptology in Bonn, Germany, clinicians employ controversial provocation tests to distinguish between epileptic and psychogenic non-epileptic seizures, PNES. While most epilepsy centers use techniques like sleep deprivation or flashing lights to induce seizures during monitoring, this facility goes further by administering sham substances with explicit suggestions that they will trigger seizures. Though ethically contentious and largely abandoned in the litigious U.S., these tests serve a crucial purpose, accurately diagnosing patients who might otherwise receive inappropriate treatment. Many PNS patients unnecessarily take anti-epileptic drugs for years, which may worsen their condition. The distinction between epileptic and psychogenic seizures illustrates our medical system's bias toward bottom-up explanations, genes, sensory input, over top-down influences, expectations, cultural factors. In the late 1800s, Dr. J. Nolan McKenzie demonstrated suggestion's power over physical symptoms when he induced an asthma attack in a patient using an artificial rose. This 19th-century deception foreshadowed modern provocation tests used in asthma diagnosis today. When researchers modified the test by making the first two doses placebos, most children still reported asthma attacks despite their airways remaining intact, demonstrating how powerful expectation can be in triggering physical symptoms even when no physiological change has occurred. Lactose intolerance provides another compelling example. In one experiment, researchers gave self-identified lactose intolerant participants a pill containing lactose, but described it using only its chemical name and explained it was an over-the-counter placebo. Most participants showed no symptoms until they were informed they had actually ingested lactose, at which point their symptoms suddenly appeared. In a complementary experiment, researchers gave participants lactose-free milk in regular milk cartons. Unaware the milk contained no lactose, participants developed symptoms proportional to the amount consumed. The case of Anne illustrates pseudocyesis, false pregnancy, where individuals develop physical signs of pregnancy without an actual fetus. Anne displayed a protruding belly, reported morning sickness, and rejected negative pregnancy tests as faulty. Through several weeks of emotional hypnosis sessions, Anne gradually came to accept her non-pregnant state. 2 years later, she returned with actual twins, providing closure to her earlier imaginary pregnancy. These findings suggest that while biology plays a major role in many conditions, psychological factors significantly influence how symptoms manifest, highlighting the powerful interface between top-down cognitive processes and bottom-up biological responses. Our memories are remarkably malleable and susceptible to suggestion. Even people with extraordinary memory abilities aren't immune to suggestion. Researchers have studied highly superior autobiographical memorists, HSAMs, who can recall nearly everything they did every day of their adult lives. Unlike other memory experts who use mnemonic techniques, HSMs have natural abilities. Yet surprisingly, they're just as susceptible to false memories as ordinary people. This suggests memory distortion mechanisms are fundamental to human cognition. No one is immune, regardless of memory prowess. Most people cherish their memories as defining their identity, rarely appreciating how much fiction is embedded within them. We simply cannot reliably distinguish true memories from constructed ones. Contrary to what one might expect, people can be just as emotional about false memories as true ones. Even brain scans show similar neural signals for both true and false memories, making it currently impossible to reliably classify memories as true or false based on brain activity. A century of research has taught us that memory is malleable. It involves reconstruction and is susceptible to complete fabrication. False memories are ubiquitous, occurring both spontaneously and through external suggestion. This is why independent verification is crucial. Confidence, conviction, eloquence, detail, emotion, and apparent veracity are no guarantee of truth. During my magic performances, I used sophisticated misdirection techniques. By using different instructions during shows than in earlier conversations, creating an illusion of free choice while actually triggering memories of previous interactions, I could make spectators believe they had made completely free choices. After performances, these individuals genuinely believed they had made independent decisions from infinite possibilities. When questioned by other spectators, they insisted they'd never met me before and that I hadn't directed their selection at all. Their conviction made them trustworthy witnesses to my apparent supernatural abilities. Our memories aren't like video recordings. They're malleable and vulnerable to corruption, especially during the retention phase when memories weaken. Post-event suggestions, leading questions, and media influence can dramatically alter our recollections. This suggestibility extends beyond memory to our decisions and behaviors. With proper preparation, suggestions can even influence large crowds to take extreme actions, as demonstrated when a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol believing they were defending democracy. Awareness of these suggestive tactics is our best protection against manipulation. In the early 2000s, as a young assistant professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, I observed a troubling pattern in the child psychiatry division. Despite some children appearing perfectly healthy to me, almost none left without prescriptions for psychiatric medications, typically antidepressants, antipsychotics, or stimulants. This concerned me since most antidepressants weren't FDA approved for children. As I researched further, I discovered the antidepressant wars, ongoing debates about medication effectiveness, and the pharmaceutical industry's extensive financial influence on academic psychiatry. Companies paid researchers to promote drugs, funded expert panels, and sometimes even ghost-wrote studies with manipulated data. My research revealed that standard medical care for depression often provided similar outcomes to placebos. Psychotherapy worked about as well as antidepressants, but combining them didn't significantly improve results. Alternative treatments like exercise, acupuncture, omega-3 supplements, tai chi, qigong, and yoga showed comparable benefits to medication. Statistical significance is widely misunderstood, even among clinicians and researchers. Many equate statistical significance with clinical importance, but they're fundamentally different concepts. Statistical significance merely tells us about data in relation to a specific hypothesis, not about the hypothesis itself. Clinical significance, on the other hand, examines how big an effect is and whether it makes a practical difference in real life. Effect size measures the magnitude of experimental outcomes, allowing us to compare interventions across different domains. If antidepressants were weight loss pills, growth hormones, or IQ enhancers, their typical effect sizes would translate to losing about 6 pounds, growing 0.6 inches taller, or gaining 3 IQ points, all considered small effects. For clinical significance, most clinicians require at least medium effect sizes, equivalent to losing 14 pounds, growing 1.4 inches, or gaining 7.5 IQ points. Using the Clinical Global Improvement Scale to analyze FDA data from 43 trials with 7,131 patients reveals that antidepressants fall short of clinical significance. The 3-point difference, typically considered clinically significant improvement, mapped exactly onto ratings for patients showing no change. Despite scientific evidence showing antidepressants minimal advantage over placebos, many physicians and patients cling to the belief that antidepressants work. This exemplifies the argumentum ad populum fallacy: popularity doesn't equal efficacy. Medical history is filled with once popular treatments we now recognize as ineffective or harmful, from bloodletting to recommending cigarettes for asthma. Depression affects 280 million people worldwide, with over 700,000 annual deaths. Yet longitudinal research spanning 45 years found that 86% of people meet clinical depression criteria at least once. It's part of being human. Antidepressants come with extensive side effects: sexual dysfunction, memory impairment, dementia risk, sleep issues, digestive problems, weight gain, and stroke risk. Most concerning is suicidality. Antidepressants triple suicide risk and quadruple suicide attempt risk. Fortunately, many alternatives exist with better long-term outcomes. While antidepressants focus solely on biological mechanisms, psychedelics offer a different approach to treating depression. They can break pessimistic thinking patterns by fostering happiness, connectedness, and emotional empathy. Even microdoses of LSD increase pro-social behavior. Psychedelics enhance suggestibility, making individuals more receptive to new patterns of thinking that rarely occur otherwise. Psilocybin, the active ingredient in magic mushrooms, enhances communication between brain regions, producing large, rapid, and sustained antidepressant effects. In one study, over half the participants experienced significant reduction in depression symptoms that persisted for weeks. Unlike antidepressants, psychedelics work through set and setting, addressing core issues rather than merely dulling symptoms. Despite historical criminalization, psychedelics are experiencing a remarkable comeback. Top medical journals publish studies on psilocybin's benefits for depression, while MDMA shows promise for PTSD treatment. The FDA seems poised to approve these compounds for therapeutic use. Major universities like Johns Hopkins, Yale, and UC Berkeley have established psychedelic research centers with private funding. Imaging techniques reveal that psychedelics create spectacular neural activity, activating typically quiet brain regions and forming new interconnections. This neuroplasticity fuels perceptual changes, particularly in how we interpret meaning. even for skeptical individuals, psychedelic experiences often carry transcendental overtones that fundamentally change beliefs. The psychedelic experience enhances suggestibility, opening the door to how suggestions and support influence behavior during these experiences. In therapeutic contexts, proper set and setting can influence health outcomes by bolstering suggestibility and facilitating healing suggestions that alter physiology positively. This is why trained support and professional monitoring are essential components of therapeutic psychedelic experiences. However, heightened suggestibility carries inherent dangers. In the wrong company, psychedelic users become more susceptible to misguided notions, from disturbing false memories to conspiracy theories. Psychedelics represent a double-edged sword, potentially leveraging suggestion for healing and growth, but if used indiscriminately, potentially precipitating waves of irrational thinking. Our susceptibility to suggestion extends to accepting false information that aligns with our beliefs. Political misinformation thrives because we're predisposed to accept suggestions that reaffirm our beliefs. Republicans were more likely to believe doctored photos of Obama shaking hands with Iran's president, while Democrats remembered Bush vacationing during Hurricane Katrina. Modern media fragmentation has replaced the consensus reality of the three-network era with ideological echo chambers. Truthiness, believing what feels right rather than what's factual, now dominates. Social polarization has reached extremes, with one-third of Americans believing Biden was elected illegitimately. Fake news spreads faster and farther than truth, with algorithms creating information bubbles. In our post-truth era, deepfakes and AI-generated content further blur reality, requiring both a magician's skepticism and a scientist's rigor to navigate. Our mindsets profoundly influence our physical reality. Suggestion can affect visual acuity, wound healing speed, and even diabetes development. People exposed to accelerated clocks heal faster, while negative health news can worsen conditions. The psychology of faith and belief plays a crucial role in suggestive effects, as people from different traditions view evidence through different lenses and respond dogmatically to challenges to their beliefs. Research on suggestion can advance social justice causes. Studies show exposure to admired Black individuals and disliked white individuals reduced implicit racial bias by over 50%. Similarly, videos of Black people engaged in positive activities decreased prejudice. However, mandatory diversity training often backfires due to psychological reactance. People resist perceived threats to their autonomy. More effective approaches include providing consensus information, showing that others disagree with prejudiced views, as people tend to suppress prejudice when they realize their in-group doesn't share their beliefs. Virtual reality experiments where non-Black participants swap bodies with Black individuals increase empathy and improve intergroup relations by changing self-perception, demonstrating how suggestion can create meaningful social impact beyond performative activism. Our mindset significantly impacts our health, as demonstrated by the Hotel Maid study, where housekeepers who were told their work constituted exercise experienced measurable health benefits without changing their routines. Similarly, participants wearing step counting watches showed physiological changes based on the feedback they received, regardless of actual activity levels. The degree of confidence people have in their beliefs has little correlation with truth, highlighting the importance of questioning our convictions. We should approach charged topics by critically assessing dominant narratives, acknowledging social media's role in polarization, and recognizing that tension between multiple ideas can foster better understanding. While skepticism remains essential, the emerging field of the suggestible brain challenges old assumptions that mindset can only alter subjective perceptions. Our suggestible brains find patterns in randomness, hear non-existent voices, and change our physiology through thought. Suggestion bridges science with the magical aspects of human experience, offering evolutionary advantages in learning, social bonding, and spirituality. By understanding suggestion, we can empower ourselves, alter our reality, boost immunity, and create positive social impact.